We talked about why you have the ability to understand prophecy, right? You want to walk away from this seminar with an attitude of, you know, I know what's going on. I know the times that we are in.
Right.
I have the opportunity and the ability to understand prophecy. We talked about the rapture in detail. You know, we have seen it's not just some man-made idea. You know, God came up with the idea.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever come in contact with people who say, I don't believe there's a rapture, but I've had that many, many times. And so, you know, if you know what you're talking about, you can give them a good answer back, right? It is in the Bible. As a matter of fact, numerous people have already experienced, if it's not a rapture, but a rapture-like experience, like Philip and like Paul the Apostle, like Brother Hagin, and I'm sure there's been many other people as well.
Right.
So, you know, you could say, you know, if you want to define the word rapture, it's the last segment in a process that we would call the resurrection of the church, in which both the dead in Christ and we which are alive and remain are going to be translated first. And because the translation qualifies us for the rapture, but then as one unit, as one family, we are first gathered, and then we are going to be removed from the earth by an unseen force. And so we're going to, you know, be relocated, removed, and we're going to go through time and space and dimensions, praise the Lord, to a brand new place. And which is heaven, but that's not going to be our ultimate destination either.
Right.
Amen. I'm sure you know that, right? But, you know, sometimes we just preach as though heaven is our final destination, but there's a lot more to it that I don't want to really get into it. But at the second coming of Jesus, he is going to take those who he's going to take those who are with him in heaven. They're going to come down to the earth again, and we're going to do away with the Antichrist and his cohorts, and we're going to take over, praise the Lord. We're not here to participate. We're here to ultimately take over. Amen.
Right. Yeah.
And we may as well have that kind of an attitude. Why not start now?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. We're going to take over. I'm not interested in becoming part of the world system because it's flawed, it's not working.
Yeah.
You know, they've proven it time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what you come up with, what isms we have, it's not working, praise the Lord. You know, you can come up with the best system, but as long as there's sin involved, you know, it's just not going to work.
Right.
So let's take it a step further here and let's talk about the timing of the rapture, and without trying to set dates, you know, I'm not in a place that I want to set dates at this moment, although I believe that we will know the day and the hour, we will know that, and I can show you from the scriptures why we would know the day or the hour. You know, many people will say that, well, you never know, you know, you won't know the day nor the hour. Well, you have to rightly divide the word of truth, right? Because you know, when Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour, that's not a rapture scripture. He's not talking about the rapture, he's talking about the second coming. So, on the other hand, I'm getting way ahead of myself. I may as well. Revelation chapter 3, he's warning a church. He said, if you don't repent, if you don't hold fast to what you have heard, then I will come on you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I'm coming onto you. And so that's a warning. That's a promise, but it'd be a negative promise. It is a warning. Same as if you've done with your kids. I've done it with my kids, you know. You keep going that way, you're going to be in bed at 7 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock. Now, that's not necessarily my will. It certainly is not their will. But the road they're on, you know, that's what's going to happen. It is a promise, but it is a negative promise. It is a warning. So if they straighten out, then whatever I have said is annulled, and we're going to go back to the 8 o'clock. bedtime. This is where right. I'm going to do that anymore. You know that, right? I can't tell Joel anymore what to do. But, but he's telling his kids the same thing, right? I've heard him do it. If you're not up here in 5 minutes, you know, something is going to happen. So that is a warning. But if people heed the warning, then the original plan is going to happen. Well, that would be the same thing with that church, right? The original plan is that he's not going to come on as a thief, you know. And a thief, or the thief in the night, is always a reference to his second coming, always. You know, he said, I will not, he said, the opposite will be true too, right? If you do heed the warning, I'm not going to come on you as a thief, and you will know the hour that I'm coming on you. All we got to do is, you know, hold fast to what we've known.
Right.
Praise the Lord. So I believe that's very important. That's a little bit getting ahead of myself. But so without setting a date, I do believe that we can create a timeline. I remember I was driving from a church. Ingrid was with me at the time. And we did a seminar just like this as well. Not the 6 hours, but I did 3 hours. And we were driving home, and the first two sessions went well. And the third one, I mean, it went well. I'm not saying it was wrong, but, you know, it just didn't click, right? It didn't just click. Like, sometimes you can tell you're not really connecting with the hearts. So I asked Ingrid about, like, what did you think about that last session? Like, should I have said it different? So she was in deep thought for a little while, and then I know, okay, I'm not going to bother her for a while. She was in deep thought. You know what? She said, it would really be helpful if you create a timeline, you know, for people. So, you know, the minute she said that, I thought, wow, yeah, very helpful. Create a timeline, because then you can see where you're at. And so there's different timelines. So, you know, we can talk about the rapture. Where does it fit on God's timeline? So while we are not going to set a date for the rapture, we can certainly create a timeline for the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are various timelines. I'm just going to give them all to you just for, you know, just so you know about it. But we can't talk about all of them because it's almost a seminar by itself. You know, but there are timelines that are called dispensations. That has to do, you know, you can see that God has created timelines from creation to the second coming. And in the Bible, they're called ages or worlds, but really he's talking about dispensations. For instance, right now we are in the dispensation of grace, or the dispensation of the church.
Right.
Or like some people say, this is really the dispensation of the mystery. So all of them are one of the same. It started on the day of Pentecost, you know, when the church became literally the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is going to finish at the day of the rapture. That's going to be the closing of the church age. And you can see it in the book of Revelation, for instance. In Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3, the word church is mentioned 19 times. From Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 on, it's not mentioned again. So it's the end of the church age. When the door opens and we go to heaven, because we hear a voice, come up here, come up hither. So from that moment on, the word church is not really mentioned again. And it seems like we're going back into Jewish time. And that would make sense. But actually, the word church is mentioned one time, but it is kind of towards the end. But it's you know, it's still there. I'm not saying that, but the focus changes after Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. That's very interesting to know, right? So it does not mean that the church does not exist, but we're going to take on a different role. We're having a different vantage point. Mm-hmm. We're going to be very much involved, but just from heaven.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And so the focus is still on the earth with the nation of Israel, because that's where the focus is.
Match up again.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So then the next timeline you can look at, we talked about it yesterday, is the resurrection timeline. And then there's also seven feasts or moads of Israel. These are appointed times, appointed feasts. And they have to do with from the cross to the millennium. And there are seven different feasts. Four of them have already taken place on the exact day when the feast was held. Jesus fulfilled four out of the seven feasts on the exact day and date that they were celebrating it. So that's quite interesting.
Right, wow. Yep.
So the next one, which is the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, which corresponds to the rapture, there's a specific day for them. Right? So we already kind of know what kind of a day is going to be. It's going to be on Rosh Hashanah, but it always changes.
Right.
Right? It's in the fall. So, you know, I think that's if the first four
right.
happen on the exact date, I think there's a good chance the next one, which corresponds to the rapture, is going to be on the exact day that God planted as well.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Then this is the one we're going to focus in on. It's from the falling away to the revelation of the Antichrist to the second coming. That's the one we're going to focus on in this session number 3. And then if we have a little bit of time, then we're going to talk about Meta Tauta as well after these things. We already referred to it earlier on. So let's talk about it, the falling away or departure. The falling away or the departure of the church places the rapture before the revealing or the revelation of the Antichrist. The revealing or the revelation of the Antichrist brings about the second coming of Christ. Mm-hmm. That's the order. And we'll go through it. We're going to go through it.
Hallelujah.
First, the King James Version, because that's where, you know, that's where most people have heard it, about the falling away. And, you know, it's one of these words that you got to pay attention to. Remember yesterday we said you got to pay attention to specific words, because they will unlock a code so that you can see what Paul is talking about or what the end times are all about. So he begins to say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," is it okay, we just read it, and then we go back to analyze what he just said, "by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." We talked about the word first yesterday, that it's a trigger point.
Right.
So here again, it is a trigger point.
Right.
So this is going to happen first. "And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholds." The word withhold means to restrain. "That he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now will let. That's the same word as withholds. These exact same word. It means to restrain. "Only he who now restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Now, earlier on, like in my early days of Christianity, I began to study end times to the best of my knowledge, because my grandma got me curious. First she scared me, but now, you know, now that I'm born again, the fear is gone. And now I'm curious. And my mom was always really curious about end times, and she spent, you know, days on end listening to Billy Graham and, you know, Hilton Sutton, I remember, right? She would listen to him all the time, and I would, you know, I would listen in once in a while with her. We were both very excited, but, you know, there is lots to be learned about this. I mean, there's a lot to be
right.
learned about
yeah.
this. But I remember reading this and just be absolutely confused about this. I did not know what this passage meant. And it is really easy to be confused about it, especially when you get to the word falling away. And so I studied it for many, many, many years. And because, you know, if you're reading falling away as though it would mean a rebellion or a revolt or a wholesale backsliding, right? Like that's how it often is interpreted, right? Many people believe that the church is going to get worse and worse, and, you know, when Jesus is coming, there's only a few of us left hiding in a cave somewhere because we are afraid of the devil, we're afraid of the Antichrist, and Jesus is just going to come and bail us out. So that never sat well with me, because I believe that Jesus, now I used to say he's coming for a glorious church. That's not accurate because, you know, we're going to be glorified up in heaven. Same as Jesus after we ascended. But he is going to come back for a victorious church.
Amen.
Amen. He is going to come back for a victorious church. We are the ones who are going to overcome the devil. So that picture of, you know, us hiding in caves and, you know, storing up beans and what have you and living, keeping warm with butane heaters. It just never sat well with me. And I don't know, I mean, I've been in seminars and people were selling stuff, right, for the tribulation. You know, they had entire tables dedicated for, you know, food that would last you, you know, 20, 25 years. Hmm. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not really preparing for that because it just didn't jive with
me. It doesn't go with the Word of God. If God provides everything,
so I'm sorry. Say that
if
again.
God provides everything,
well, exactly. So it didn't sit well with me at all because that's not the picture that was painted for me. You know, when I'm reading the Bible, you know, when you know, you're a new creation, you're stronger than the devil, you're stronger than sin. To me, that would mean you're stronger than the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And the Book of John, 1 John. Talks about it, even though there are many antichrists, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world.
Amen.
So to me, it would mean we are stronger than the antichrist. Mm-hmm. So, but when I read the word falling away, of course it has a connotation with it. It has a taste with it that it seems like a rebellion. It's going to be a rebellion taking place, and many people talk about many will depart from the faith, and so on, you know, and the Bible does say that, but it's a different context. So why don't we go through this, right? Like, okay, let's just say that this word does mean rebellion or backsliding. You know, let's say that's what it means. And let's, you know, see if it fits, right? Because if you use Bible interpretation, it has to fit, you know, just like a puzzle in what Paul is talking about here. But I can prove to you it doesn't fit. If that word falling away would mean backsliding, it doesn't fit at all.
No.
Because now let's say that that's what it means. Let no man deceive you, verse 3, by any means, for that day, you know, that day would refer to the second coming of Jesus, shall not come except there come a rebellion, a revolt, a wholesale backsliding of the church, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So far, so good. It would work, right? It would work with the next verse. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I told you all these things? Verse 6 brings, you know, that's a problem. It's a problem because it says, and now you know what holds back or what restrains, you know, what is the restraining force so that he might be revealed in his time. So obviously something is holding back, restraining the Antichrist. What is restraining the Antichrist? The falling away. So if we are saying that the falling away means a revolt or a backslidden church, then you're saying a backslidden church is restraining the Antichrist. That couldn't be true.
That's right.
at all. It's a if the church has backslid and is now hiding somewhere in a cave, that would only pave the way for the Antichrist to come in. Mm-hmm. Right? That would not restrain him, that would not hold him back. The falling away is the thing, is the event, is the very thing that's holding back, restraining the Antichrist. And he says, and now you know what withholds that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Everything that you see now, right, is part of the mystery of iniquity. Right? That's what it is. It's already working.
It's working.
You know, we don't have the Antichrist yet, but there's many Antichrists. Mm-hmm. You know, perhaps you've had to change Antichrists. Right? Because you thought, well, that should be the Antichrist. Many of them are Antichrists. Right? Anti-anointed. It's not just that they're anti-God and anti, you know, it's not like they're anti, but they're anti-anointing. They're against Jesus. Or a better word, I heard one gentleman say, you know, when you're dealing with the Antichrist, he's more like a pseudo-Christ. You know, he looks a lot like him. He will act a lot like him. Many people will actually believe that's him. You know, so I think that's a good way to actually view it. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way. Well, that's the church, in my view.
Yep.
And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So I thought to myself, you know, this word falling away is what restrains the Antichrist. So I did a little bit of study on it, and the root word for falling away is really a spatial removal. That's, you know, that would be the root word for the Greek. As a matter of fact, I wanted to make sure that I'm not just doing this on my own. So I remember, you know, phoning my good friend, a good pastor friend, who is a Greek scholar. So I thought, I'm going to ask him, because I don't want to just read something into that. I want to read into it. I want to get the view, the opinion of someone who has studied ancient Greek and who will give me a little bit more information. So I did. I phoned him and I asked him, you know, this word falling away, you know, which in the Greek, it comes from a Greek word, apostasia. You know, he corrected me right there. I pronounced it wrong. He said it's apostasia. I can't even remember how I said it. I say apostasia, apostasia. That's what it was. Anyway, but it's, you know, where we get the word apostasy from, which again, in our minds, would mean a rebellion. You know, or a backsliding, right? That's the first connotation that we get, or that's the first thought that we get. So I asked him, that word, is it a positive thing? Is it a negative thing? Or does it depend on the context? So he said, well, I don't want to just answer you at the top of my head. I'm going to study it and get back to you. So he phoned me back a week or two later. And he was actually very excited. He said, you know, Brother John, he said, I gotta fess up to something. Because up to this time, he said, I have actually never believed in the rapture. But now that I study this word falling away, I believe there's a rapture. Oh, I was kind of shocked that he didn't believe in the rapture. But so he was quite excited. And he said, well, yeah, it's true, this word falling away, you know, the root word would mean a spatial removal. It can be translated as a divorce, but it could be, and it should be translated as a departure. As a matter of fact, he told me, all the 7 English translations of the Bible prior to the King James Version all translated this word, falling away, apostasia, as departure. So it's not strange. You know, it became strange after the King James Version made it out to be the falling away. Mm-hmm. The falling away. So we talked a little bit, but what got him really excited was the fact he told me it's got the definite article in front of it. I said, well, that's really nice to know. I have no idea what that means. So he explained it to me. He said, so when you're talking about a definite article in the Greek, it would mean it is a specific event. It's not a generic event. It's not something that's vague. It's a very specific event. So he said this word falling away could be translated as departure, and it is not departing from the faith. Well, of course, right? Because Paul did say that to Timothy, many shall depart from the faith, which has happened since day one. You know, people got born again and many departed from the faith. Amen. I mean, we have, you know, even Paul talks to Timothy and Titus about it. Some have departed from the faith because they listened to other people who claimed that the resurrection had already happened, causing shipwreck to occur in other people's faith. So people departed from the faith because of false doctrine or listening to doctrines of devils. So that's not new. This is something, you know, that is not just a generic thing like departing from the faith. It is a departure. It is a very specific event because it's got the Greek, in the Greek, the definite article right in front of it. So if you read that as departure, then the whole thing begins to make sense. Because then it reads like this. Let's start at the top. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Really what Paul is saying is that I want to talk to you about two events that are very important. They are two prophetic events. Number one, it's the coming of the Lord, which is a reference to his second coming. And by us being gathered together, which is a reference to the rapture. Because the rapture is going to be the great gathering.
Right.
It's the great gathering. As a matter of fact, the word in the Greek is, you know, for gathering is used only one other time. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's the exact same word. Especially since you see the day approaching. So gathering together is a sign that Jesus is coming soon. So I believe that sign will come up, will appear more and more. More and more people will gather in Jesus' name as we see the day approaching. Amen. So every church service, you ought to experience a mini rapture, so to speak. You get edified, you get lifted up, maybe not all the way to heaven, but at least you should be able to get up out of your seat and leave the church encouraged, comforted, strengthened.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Because we're getting ready for the big one.
Right.
Which is here. He said, I want to talk to you about the second coming and about what we would call the rapture of the church. He said, I don't want you to be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He is saying this, I don't want you to be shook up. I don't want you to worry. You know, even if someone is writing letters to you or is prophesying to you that the day of the second coming is the next event. Because that's what the Thessalonian church started to believe. Right? There were, first of all, there were people who were writing. History will tell us that they got a letter that was written in the name of Paul. Someone forged Paul's signature even, and in that letter they had stated that the resurrection is past. Well, we know that happened, right? Because Paul talked about that. The two guys, Philetus and Hymenaeus, they said that the resurrection is past, overthrowing the faith of people. And I've heard people say that even in our day and age, it's not so common anymore. But there are people out there who believe that the resurrection has already happened. And my question would be, well, you don't see any evidence of that, right? We're still dealing with flesh, blood, and bone bodies. Nobody is on the earth with a glorified body yet at this moment. Anyway, that's another story. So he said, you know, make sure that you're not worried that the next prophetic event is going to be the second coming of Jesus, because that's what the Thessalonians began to think and believe, because they were under heavy persecution. So, you know, if you're under heavy persecution and tribulation, it might seem like, just like the time we're in now, Right? Many people are saying and thinking we're in the tribulation period. Well, we're not. But you certainly see the signs of it. This is very similar. It would be easy for people to believe that we are in the tribulation period, which would mean we have missed a very important event, the rapture of the church. And the next thing you know is going to be the second coming of the Lord, which is still good, but I don't want to miss the rapture.
Okay.
Amen. So that's what they were dealing with. He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, a reference to his second coming, shall not come except there's going to be a departure of the church first.
First.
And the first is a trigger point. Once the church is gone, then the next prophetic event can happen, which is the appearing or the revelation of the Antichrist,
right,
which is followed by the second coming.
Yeah.
So the rapture of the church gives place to the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is going to give place to Jesus coming back, because it's because of what he does, especially in and to the nation of Israel, that causes them, the nation of Israel, to have the spirit of supplication come upon them. And they'll be crying out for their Messiah to come. And will he answer? Yes. He is going to answer, and he's going to do away with the Antichrist and his kingdom. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. So, there's going to be a falling away, a departure first. As a matter of fact, the Amplified Bible, if you've got an Amplified Bible, you'll see a little letter. I believe it's a C there, and it will say on the bottom, this word, falling away, could also be rendered as departure, the departure of the church. So it's right there. Then he goes on to say who about the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Don't you remember that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? So he already told them before.
Right.
Paul's an end-time preacher, right? Because he already told them way back when what is going to happen at the end of the church age.
Wow.
So that's why it ought to be a message that every pastor preaches, you know. Like it's part of the gospel, amen. Just as much as the forgiveness of sin, the healing of the body, the restoration of the soul, prosperity are all part of the gospel. The end time message is a part of the gospel, just as much. And now you know, he says, what is restraining the Antichrist that he might be revealed in his time? What is it? Well, it's the departure of the church. Is holding back the revelation of the Antichrist. So, you know, you don't have to worry at this moment who the Antichrist is. There's a bunch of them out there. There are many Antichrists, but it's not the Antichrist that the Bible has warned us about. It's not that person yet. He's not going to be revealed until the church is gone. So that's why you got to find yourself a new Antichrist. I had to find myself a new Antichrist back in the 80s, I remember.
Yep, right.
Okay. So, for the mystery of iniquity, like I said, that's already working right now. Everything you see right now, you know, it's part of the mystery of iniquity, and it is working here. Only he, I believe that's the church, a reference to the church, who is now restraining, will restrain him until he be taken out of the way, meaning out of the midst of humanity. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So that's the only way that it can fit, when the word falling away means departure.
Right.
But I would submit to you that would be right in line with the picture that Jesus has painted of the church as well, when he said, upon this rock I will build my church. Well, that's the first time that he used the word church, right? That's the first time. And as you well know, when something in the Bible is mentioned for the first time, you have to pay close attention to it, because that first time that it is mentioned, it becomes the foundation of every other time when that same word is is used. Mm-hmm. Well, the first time it is used, it's in connection with the devil and with the powers of darkness. Amen.
Yeah.
When upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her.
Oh. Hallelujah.
It's pretty good. Amen. So that would mean the Antichrist, you know, even though he may try, he has got nothing against, he can't prevail against us. So I found this very interesting too about that statement, you know, because Jesus talked about the gates of hell. Let me ask you this question. Is the gates of hell, is that an attacking mechanism or a defensive mechanism? Well, it is a defensive mechanism.
Yep.
You know, and again, I believe it's very important for us to know, because we often think that it's the devil who's constantly attacking, right? And we always have to come up with a new plan. I wonder what the Lord is going to do now after this has all happened. He's not going to come up with any new plan, right? Because, you know, he's already attacked the devil in such a way that he's not able to have any defense against it. There's no defense. He has no defense against the church. When we do what we're supposed to do, when we go out and preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, speak in tongues, when we do all those things, there is absolutely nothing that the devil can do against it.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. He may hoot and holler. He may, you know, he may throw up a hissy fit. and he does, right? And he even uses government. I mean, I was in a nation. I was in a country one time, and they told me very straight, you can't lay hands on the sick because the government won't allow them. So now, unless you listen to that, I mean, you know, you're held back. But I believe that we got to be bold enough to stand up and say, this is the Bible. This is what the Word says, and we're going to do it. Amen. We're going to do it.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so let me read it to you from another translation, from the Weiss translation. It reads like this: Now I am requesting you, brethren, with regard to the coming and personal presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming, even our being assembled together to him, for you to not soon to become unsettled, the source of this unsettled state being your minds, neither be thrown into confusion, either by a spirit, a believer in the Christian assembly, claiming the authority of divine revelation, and claiming to give the saints a word from God, or through a word received personally as from us, or through a letter falsely alleged to be written by us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come and is now present. Do not begin to allow anyone to lead you astray in any way, because that day shall not come except the aforementioned departure. When you see the word aforementioned, that's the definite article, like something that is Paul knew, and it's a very definite thing, as from us, or through a letter falsely alleged to be written by us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come and now present. Sorry. Do not begin to allow anyone to lead you astray in any way, because that day shall not come except the aforementioned departure of the church to heaven comes first, and the man of the lawlessness is disclosed in his true identity, the son of perdition. He who sets himself in opposition to and exalts himself above everyone and everything that is called a god or that is an object of worship, so that he seats himself in the inner sanctuary of God, proclaiming himself to be deity. Do you not remember that while I was with you, I kept on telling you these things? And now you know with a positive assurance that which, namely, the departure of the church, the saints being assembled together to the Lord, is preventing his being disclosed as to his true identity in his strategic appointed time. For the mystery of the aforementioned lawlessness is operating. Only he who is holding the lawlessness down will do so until he goes out from the midst of humanity. And then shall the lawless one be disclosed in his true identity, whom the Lord shall slay with the breath of his mouth and render inoperative by the sudden appearance of his personal presence.
Hallelujah.
Pretty clear.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. Pretty clear. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, we've done our first session already this morning. I trust you got something out of it. I just love talking about this.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Because it shows Jesus is Lord. We're reigning with him. And the devil is just a zero. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to grab a cup of coffee and get